This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here at The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng together with Sharis Abdullah. And it's Pressing Matters Right Now, the show that goes behind the headlines, where we speak to members of the press on their stories. Today we have P. Gunasekaram, independent business analyst. And welcome to the show, Guna.
Thank you. Thank you, Julian.
So today we're talking about tolls because recently some background story is that the government is going to talk to Gamoda about taking over those toll roads. And they introduced the idea of congestion charges, right?
Another name for a toll.
Another name for a toll. Basically, if you travel between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m., you will have no toll charges. And at the other times, there would be about 30% discount to the toll charges or something like that. Also, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng gave some numbers. The government is going to save about 180 million ringgit for commuters. I don't know whether that's yearly or in total. And also,
I think it's probably yearly.
Yearly, right? Yeah, and yearly. About 5.3 billion ringgit in terms of the absence of compensation charges that are paid to toll companies for every year to prevent them from instituting toll rate rises.
That probably includes covers all the toll companies rather than
that's
just
in
the
total.
Gamoda tolls.
Yeah. So in question today is the Gamoda toll roads. Actually, Gamoda, according to the government, have 50% market share of toll revenue collected. And the stock price has come down sharply as a result of this announcement.
And then it recovered after that, I think, somewhat, but still probably on the lower side at the end of it. I think you can't talk about tolls without going back into the history. You know, one thing is the early tolls benefited by overpricing of contracts. There were two portions. One is the profit that you make from the construction of the roads. The other one is the toll collection that runs over the concession period.
Over decades, right?
Some of them, yes. And if you have a very high construction cost, then your toll collection also is going to be higher. So it's actually sort of like a double whammy to the person who eventually pays for the tolls, which is the people. And then also on top of that, there is a guarantee by the government on toll increases. You know, I mean traffic projections. If the toll concessioner experiences traffic which is lower, then there may be soft loans or grants which were given by the government. And the other thing is there is a fixed schedule of increases over a period of time. So all this gives a lot of certainty of cash flow for the toll concessioners now. So which means that if you go back into history, it's likely that if the government is going to acquire these things, then they're going to pay a pretty high price for the whole thing, you know, because of the nature of the contracts. And ironically, until today, the toll concession agreements are still classified secret under the Official Secrets Act. Yeah? So you don't really know what exactly is there for each of the toll concessioners. From anecdotal evidence and from some amount of analysis, the later toll projects were more in line with fundamentals than the earlier ones, which actually gave a lot away to the concessioners itself.
Mm-hmm.
The early ones would be the Plus is the first one, I think, in a major way. And then Gamoda is the other major player. Of course, there is Duke, which I think you were saying is owned by EcoWest and so on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's pretty big business.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned that there's a potential, how much this, you know, this takeover is going to cost. I mean, it sounds going to be very expensive. However, do you think that, you know, the return that all this toll concession has been getting, wouldn't that be a new sort of source of revenue for the government instead?
It depends. It depends. First, you are going to reduce the tolls. You know? Okay, the reduction may not be very much because if you take the example of the four, which are being talked about now, which is the LDP, Sprint, Kersas, and the Smart Tunnel, the toll during peak periods, and the strange thing is they have not actually defined what is peak period. There's no difference in the toll. It's only be called a new name, which is the congestion charge. You know? So, and then 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. is toll-free. not many people will be using the toll during that period. So the other area, there will be a 30% reduction. This is not anywhere near getting rid of tolls. So if you're going to have some sort of a toll, why not just leave it alone?
Yeah,
and then see what happens after that.
I want to dissect that more a little later, but just still staying on the price tag, right? It's humongous. I think there's some analysts and analysis going around that in order to take over all the toll roads in Malaysia, that will cost about 150 billion ringgit to 200 billion ringgit or something like that,
yes.
Right? But Gamuda, 50% of the toll roads, the maths would suggest that it's going to be half of that, right?
Maybe not. No, I'm not sure whether Gamuda actually accounts for 50% of toll revenue. I haven't seen that. But if you look at the figures, I think the Star had a report on the weekend over analyst estimate of what is Gamuda's tolls. What are they valued at? And it ranges from 2.2 billion to 3.8 billion ringgit. For an average of 2.8 billion. But if you go back further and if you look at Plus, I think Plus was listed at one time, and then I think it was subsequently privatized. And it is
EPF,
now...
EPF, right. EPF now owns Plus.
EPF is 49%,
okay, yep.
And Khazanah is 51% through United Engineers. So I think the valuation for Plus at that time was some of the order of 30 billion ringgit, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And again, if you look at the amount of bonds which are associated with toll roads, the bonds alone are about 55 billion ringgit, you know? So that's a huge amount that you're talking
trying
about.
To service, yeah.
So even if you're, some people get the idea that if you buy over the equity, let's say the equity is between 55 to 100 billion. If you buy over the equity, then you can extinguish everything. Wrong, because after you buy over the equity, you still have to service the bonds, and for that you need to have toll revenue. You know, so even if you acquire all the equity, you cannot actually extinguish the tolls just like that.
Or you could say the government would service the bonds out of its own pocket without having toll roads, right? I mean,
until your financial situation improves, so, you can't do that. That might be quite a tough thing to do now.
Okay, you know? We're going to take a break now, and this is a very hot topic. We'll be having more discussions after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. You're with Julian and Sharit on The Morning Run, and we're doing Pressing Matters right now, which is a show that goes behind the headlines, since we're speaking to P. Gunasekaram, independent business analyst. We're talking about toll roads today, a very hot topic. And Guna, when the government gave out some of its numbers in terms of savings to commuters as well as savings from compensation charges, I think the very next day, Gamuda came up with a statement that highway takeovers are to be done at market valuation norms. And this is very interesting, because market valuation norms suggest that it's a fair price and therefore it might be very expensive for the government.
Yes, certainly. I don't think there are provisions in the concession agreements for the government to take over the tolls. I think unless the government is actually flexing its muscles and using its other kind of powers to do deals, then it doesn't look like they can get very low prices for it. So the sale has to be done on a willing buyer, willing seller basis. If the government does not give a good enough price, Gamuda can just turn it down. And I'm not sure what the government can do under those kind of circumstances. The concession agreements apparently are quite ironclad. So what do you do after Gamuda? All right, if you do Gamuda, all right, the analysts estimate 2.2 to 3.8 billion. Yeah? So, and does it mean then that you also extinguish the loan payments? Because if you have bonds associated with Gamuda's toll concessions, then you have to service these bonds. And then you need to have a certain amount of toll. So toll is not going to go away. You know, even if the government takes it over, there is going to be a certain amount of tolls now. So, and if you look at the kind of money that you would need to extinguish all the toll agreements, it could be as high as 150 billion ringgit, you know, according to some estimates.
Which is money that we don't have. But also, before the elections, I was looking at some videos by Tony Poir, and he says that the government has supported a lot of this toll road through grants, as well as the fact that the government may not have to take over these toll roads at the market price. And I could be totally, I haven't really watched it again, but at that time, when I watched it, it suggested that, hey, this could be an idea for the government to take over toll roads, and it might not be so expensive. So you're saying that there are no clauses for...
I'm not sure, because I do not know how many people have actually seen these toll agreements. You know?
And it's still under OSA, which is ridiculous, because OSA shouldn't exist in New Malaysia, right?
Yeah. But I think, okay, if you take, even if you go look at the bonds, okay, for instance, bonds have been established at roughly around 55 billion ringgit. So if you say that the shareholders' value of that will be another 55 million, at the very least, you're talking about 110 billion ringgit, you know. If you look at Plus, the valuation at that time, the equity valuation was around 30 billion. So even if the government takes over, then they will have to do it with loans, you know. And you have to service these loans, and therefore you have to continue to collect tolls, you know. So it's not as if by this progressive taking over of tolls that the government can actually extinguish the tolls. So it looks like either way, they are not going to be able to keep the election promise that they will get rid of tolls.
Yeah, but how about the amount that they're expecting to collect after taking over the tolls? Is there a possibility that this amount that's collected would be enough to sort of service the loan, though?
We don't know. That's an open question. Still, we do not know whether they can actually service the loans and make enough for maintenance and things like that after that. And effectively, it also means that the government is, again, getting too much involved in the running of the toll itself. There is expertise already outside which has been developed, over the last 20 years. You know, to turn the clock back and say that we are going to take over all the tolls, one wonders whether the government has the capacity to do that and the expertise to run it, you know. So they will probably have to acquire the expertise from the companies. So the one alternative could be to, okay, this has been done, it's already there. Some of the toll concessions have already changed hands. There are new shareholders who did not benefit from the earlier, preferential treatment of toll concessioners. So you can't ask these guys to pay for something that somebody else benefited from, you know. So the only way that he can transact is if it is done at market price, you know. Otherwise, it is nationalization.
You use the N-word, too.
So that will be what it is, and that gives all kinds of connotations.
Correct, for foreign investments and so on, right? So what do you think could be a policy solution to this? Because on the one hand, it's an election promise, right, and on the other hand, it's too expensive to take over.
Okay, if we go back, I think tolls have been around now for,
all our lives, I think.
Maybe 20 to 25 years at least, all right? So time passes pretty fast now, you know? So the Plus Expressway concession, I think, expires around 2038. So that is 19 years from now, which is really not a very long time.
All things considered,
All things considered. And then on top of that, this will be probably most tolls will expire during that same period. So let's be done with accepting that tolls are going to be a fact of life for the next two decades. What the government can do is, if its financial position is better, then it can subsidize some of the tolls, you know. And then it can maybe apply if the profitability going forward of the toll concessioners is very good. They can ask them to actually, take less profits and accept lower toll increases now, you know, going into the future.
But that's contractual as well, isn't it? Like the toll rate rises are contractual, which is why the government is obliged to compensate toll companies every year.
If your traffic projection is very good, then you can negotiate with those guys, you know. So if it goes, if your traffic projection rises way above the base levels, for instance, under which the assumptions were made, you could, on a goodwill basis, negotiate with them. So, and then once this expires, don't renew it, you know, straight away. By that time, in 20 years, hopefully new successive new governments will be far more efficient. We'll have a lot more money. Then you take over the tolls, take over ownership of the tolls, and then privatize the maintenance of the tolls. And then either remove tolls altogether, or at that point, you can have a much lower toll rates. Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like, I mean, the takeaway from this is that, you know, any efforts to try and lower down the cost of, especially for the B40 and the M40 group, is always going to cost the government. And I guess we're speaking about now shifting that focus, asking the government to shift the focus on trying to increase their, income rather than reduce costs.
I think the targeted subsidy method is the best. You know? Okay, so if you're going to help the B40, increase your incomes, okay? Okay, if you cannot increase your incomes immediately through wage adjustments, then give them cash grants.
Give them money, yeah.
Give them money, you know? So that's what has been done in even places like Australia during the last recessionary period.
It might be cheaper, you know? Though. Like, yes. It would be a lot cheaper than taking over the tolls, right?
Yes, it would be. And on top of that, you are making sure that those who can afford to pay for the tolls continue paying for the tolls. And that should be the same process for petrol subsidies, for instance, you know.
Can we go back to the bonds, right? Because you're saying that it might be expensive to service the bonds, but if Japan wants to give us samurai bonds for almost nothing, should we? Is that a solution for?
That's very dangerous. I think it was during Mahathir's previous administration that we made huge forex losses on loans because of the financial crisis, the Asian financial crisis, when the ringgit fell from something like 2.4 ringgit to the US dollar to at one stage around 4.5 to the US dollar.
That's right.
You know? So the amount that you have to pay back in loans increased by 70 to 80% in ringgit terms. So I think this current government should be aware that there is huge forex risks. So you may want to be in the market and borrow this kind of money, you know, but you don't want to be overexposed to foreign currency loans. The only thing that saved Malaysia in the 1998 financial crisis was that we were not overly dependent on foreign borrowings at that time. You know? Mm-hmm. So, and when there is plenty of liquidity in the local market, why go overseas and borrow?
Okay, on that note, that's all the time we have for Pressing Matters. Thank you, Guna, for joining us this morning. That's P. Gunasekaram, Independent Business Analyst, joining us for this morning's Pressing Matters. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news, and this will be followed by Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.